Peach Valley and the Tri-City area. This is Teddy Reese with Sunday Conversation. Today is February the 25th, 2018, and we are excited about today's conversation. I tell you, we've had a good month this month. We've had some amazing talks with some folks that are, you know, talking to us about a lot that's going on, a lot in the community. And you know, every now and then we try to get one of our solid leaders in here to have a conversation with us. And so I'm very excited about today's conversation. I have someone here with me today that I certainly look up to. I tell you, to me, he's truly a giant in this Chattahoochee Valley area. And that is none other than the fine mayor of Phenix City, Alabama, Mayor Eddie Lowe. How you doing today, Mayor Lowe?
I'm great, Teddy, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being here. I know your schedule is full, but I appreciate you for taking the time to talk to our listeners. You know, we have a lot of listeners over in Alabama now.
Quite naturally. I know that this station, in particular WOKS, as I was sitting out there, I was looking and seeing WOKS, and mm-hmm. I have five siblings that are older than me from the span of 3 years to 12 years old. And the older ones, I remember them listening to WOKS, and I myself always listened to it. So it's been a part of these communities for a very, very long time.
Yes, sir. And thank you for recognizing the longevity of this of the station here. Of course, you know that's the leadership of Mr. Davis and Ms. Davis and so many fine people here at Davis Broadcasting that's able to make that happen. Mayor Lowe, I tell you, you know, personally, I feel like I know you. You're like an uncle to me. You know, just a good friend. So, you know, sometimes I have to remind myself I am in the presence of the mayor of Phenix City, the first African American mayor of Phenix City. How did that feel for you when you first accomplished that amazing feat?
Well, I'll tell you, Teddy. You know, 6 or 7 years ago, if someone had told me that I would be in this position, you know, I would have told them, listen, there's no way, you're out of your mind. But it happened, and I really, really am thankful that it happened. Thank God for the opportunity. But, you know, being the first African American, it's huge and it's big. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is. Because I am black and being the first one, and when you look at the history of Phenix City, it is gigantic and it's huge, and I know that, and that's something that will always go down. But you know what I really want people to know and to realize, and I hope that although I am black and very proud of that, mm-hmm. Because God did not make a mistake,
right?
And but what I really want people to hopefully look at in the tone in on is that, you know, you always have to look at the qualities of a person, and I'm hoping that that's one of the main critical things that I'm also remember for that. Hopefully people can say, you know, I had a lot of integrity, characters and morals that and the values that really, really takes place. And I'm hoping that people can always remember and look at that as the qualities of me, even though I'm still maturing and I'm still growing. But when you look at this thing wide and broad, I am black. That's very important. It's huge for young men and women of our race.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I'm not downplaying that. But the most important thing that, you know, what I want us all to realize that we have to get back to those qualities of a person, which mm-hmm. being the morals, character, and integrity of a person. And that's what I really want to be mainly remember, that I tried to be fair and I love people and I love my wife.
And she loves you too. I think that's evident. Absolutely. And you know, you bring up a good point here, but and I think you're absolutely right, because I've witnessed it. You benefit from support from a wide range of people in the community. You know, black people, white people, Latino individuals, and there are people who see you as a quality individual and with leadership that was needed at the time. And that was very important. And the fact that you've been able to cater to the needs of the city as a whole. As a whole, in progression and in growth and in economic development and in beautification and things of that nature, shows that you didn't let any of your voters down.
Well, the thing is, and as you know, May not know. You know, I'm an ex-athlete playing football and played a lot of years. Actually played, you know, organized from 8 years old until I was 32 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, different levels. And, you know, I was always fortunate, and maybe I shouldn't say fortunate, but I've always been able to play on teams that had whites, black, Latinos, Samoans. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing, Teddy, is that, you know, you're on this team, you set a goal to win the championship, and it always amazed me how all of us come from different cultures, totally wide and broad and totally different. But what always amazed me is that how we all put those things to the side,
right,
and work for that common goal,
right,
to win a championship and being the best. And we didn't look at different cultures. We didn't look at ethnicities. We didn't look from socioeconomics. Mm-hmm. We looked at us all working together to achieve a goal. And I've always been inclusive with people, because if you can equip guys and teach guys and train guys of different ethnicities, mm-hmm, to work together with, mm-hmm, love, with disagreement, but without tipping each other, but really pushing each other and getting on each other. And I'm just a Pollyanna utopia guy that if you can teach guys to do that, you should be able to be inclusive with people sharing the same vision, sharing the same goal to get to the same point, regardless if it's for a cause to have a better community or,
yes,
have a better neighborhood or, uh-huh, have a better city. Or to me, that if you can teach guys from those different backgrounds, I just truly believe that we can teach people that inclusively. And everything that I've tried to do since I've been the mayor of Phoenix City, positively Phoenix City, is to always do things with inclusion.
Right.
And that's from the Unity Prayer Breakfast. That's from the Mayor's Ball that, mm-hmm, we've started. That's from the Governor's Day that we've all wanted to be inclusive with people, regardless of their ethnicities, regardless of what end of the town they're from. But it's all about inclusion and diversity, because it lifts everyone.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and the perfect tide will lift all boats, and we create the perfect tide as an individual. And it's interesting that you bring this up, because, you know, I remember I graduated high school in 1998. You know, and
that was long ago.
To some folks listen to that, which, you know, that
I was long.
Like, oh, he's so young, you know.
Yeah.
But I graduated high school in 1998, and I remember having conversations in high school with some of my classmates, in which we used to believe that time would heal racism. And we were of that belief because we got along so well with our classmates of different races and backgrounds, and we just believed that that would grow with us as individuals. But something else we used to point out, and is what exactly what you just talked about, our athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing can be said about our men and women in uniform. They have a superior and honorable way of showing how people of all races and gender and whatever it may be can get along and work together and look out for each other. Because when you got your battle buddy and you down in that foxhole and somebody's shooting at you, you want to know the guy beside you got your back.
It doesn't matter.
You're protecting each other. And as a country who, you know, as a people that deeply appreciates and honor the sacrifices of our men and women in uniform, you would think it would be a lot easier for us collectively to adopt that strategy, that mindset about it. But when you look at things nationally, it makes you concerned. So it's refreshing to hear you talk about that, because that is so absolutely true. And talking about athletes, you mentioned something, and I took a note of mentorship, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But I do want to ask you, so you were born and raised in Phoenix City?
I was I come from a family of six, actually nine, but six, three of them still born, but actually with the siblings of five other siblings. Mm-hmm. So two of us were born in the hospital in Columbus, Georgia,
okay.
The medical center. That was myself and my brother Woodrow. The other four of us, or the others, was all born at the house. So even though I was born in Columbus, but our residents were in Phenix City. So I grew up in Phenix City.
Mm-hmm.
In South Phenix City is a place they sometimes call the Back Road, and went to the public schools there all my life and graduated mm-hmm. in 1978. Got a chance to play football, but yes, all my life has been here in these communities. However, as I played football in college, I went off to play college and then got a chance, Teddy, to also play professionally in the CFL.
Now, where did you play in college?
University of Alabama.
I played
for Coach Bryant. I was fortunate to play from him. Learned a lot of great value, particularly about teamwork,
right.
and landing on the line for others.
Uh-huh.
So that
Roll Tide, Alabama.
Yes.
What year was that?
I graduated in 1983. The year I graduated, Coach Bryant died January of 82. So I was blessed to have him coach me my entire period while I was at the University of Alabama. He retired in December of 1982 mm-hmm. And died in January of 1983 after we played a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
So I was fortunate to play for him and graduated, got my degree in finance, and got a chance to play in the CFL for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my size as a linebacker, the NFL thought that I was too small, so you have to play with the cards you're dealt with. So
right.
got an opportunity to play in Canada and had a chance to play up there for 9 years and really enjoyed that. But I would always come home during the off season,
okay.
Because of the cold weather, and mainly because my wife would have been miserable staying up there year round.
Right.
But
right.
I was able to play for 9 years. So I left for a little while, but Phoenix City has always been my home. Decided to come back. She and I decided to make it our home and have no regrets over it. None whatsoever.
So of course you've seen a lot of progression in Phoenix City from where you were growing up as a child to where the city is now. Generally, how would you categorize or sum up that progression, and where do you think, or where would you like to see the city go from here?
And like I stated, Teddy, I'm kind of a utopia and a Pollyanna guy.
Mm-hmm.
As you and I was talking first, I'm really having fun doing this because
mm-hmm.
I love people.
Right.
And I know that anytime you're in a leadership position, no leader should ever make decisions based on their self-interest or self-desires.
Right.
And, you even learn that through sports, and my parents taught us that. So it's about the people. So I'm having a great time. But, when I was in Phoenix City growing up, it was very limited to where we could go or where we would go.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the school was integrated, but you have the tendency to stay on your side of town or on your end of town until you your parents got ready to go get something that was needed for the house. So I wasn't exposed to what was all taking place in Phoenix City. And probably like most kids, your home is your home, and you're going to think what's best of it. You're going to think it's the best city to live in.
Right.
But as I matured and got a chance to travel and play football and be around different cultures, different ethnicities, you can see that blinders, as I stated, were taken off of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that it was a much more exposure out there than what I had been accustomed to, because, again, in sports and in playing sports and having the chance to travel all over the world, you could see that things are different and can be different.
Right.
And so, being in Phoenix City, the progress that has been made is the growth of the city. It's about almost 38,000 people. And when you look at the growth of the high schools, the public high school there, you can tell the growth because of the graduating class I had as compared to the graduating class that they have nowadays.
Right. Right.
And you can see now that there are relationships have improved, but we still have a long ways to go, and what I want is to always be inclusive where the city can grow exponentially. And are we there yet? No, we're not, because mm-hmm. you do always have a cabal of people in a community that wants to keep it divided.
Right.
And as
right.
I state and stand up at every meeting, the most of the meeting, and say we in Phoenix City can ill afford to allow that to happen.
Absolutely.
Because it would be a shame on us because of the opportunities that we have.
Right.
When you look at how far Phoenix City have gone, I'm very proud to be a part of it. We have great people working in the city. We have great leadership as far as our department head. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is that everything that we do and I do is always about inclusion, because this world, this country, this state, both states and these cities, and I shared this with some people about a month ago, has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing we can do about it but try to engage it and make it work.
Right, right.
And that's the challenge that I always put out there for the people in Phoenix City, because there are always will be a cabal right. of people that try to keep us divided, and I'm determined to ill afford to allow that to happen.
You just said a mouthful then, and that's why I was so excited to do this interview with you, because you are one of the local leaders that I idolize. I watch you. I observe your actions. I listen when you speak. I watch how you deal with controversial and challenging things, and you always do it with a certain, with a great level of calmness and respect, but with the fire and with the determination and with the understanding that needs to come along with it, and those are just characteristics of an amazing leader, and that's what you display all the time, and I'm so appreciative of that. Like, you know, just then you were able to talk about your challenges, but you didn't demonize the people that you identified, but you identified as a challenge, and leaders have to be willing and able and have enough backbone to verbalize where the issues lie, because if you don't, then you're misleading the people. So I appreciate that. Mayor Lo, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, and I have with me the amazing mayor of Positively Phoenix City.
All right.
And we'll be right back with you shortly. Thank you.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And, well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, and as you have been listening, I'm sure we have a lot of people listening today, because we got the man on the air with us, Mayor of Phoenix City, Alabama, Mayor Eddie Lowe, somebody that I look up to and I appreciate for his leadership and the example that he's setting, and his willingness to always step aside and talk with me when I ask questions, acknowledge my presence and locations. You know, he's really that leader that understands there's another generation, and we got to work with them, and we got to talk to them. And Mayor Lo, I want to go into that a little bit. You mentioned the word of working with athletes and preparing athletes, and what came to mind for me was mentorship. You didn't say that, but that's what you described.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to talk a little bit about mentorship and preparing the next generation for leadership and for taking our government entities and our civic organizations forward. What would be your advice to some young folks that are listening, young professionals that's making their way through their careers and working with public service now, but may want to take it to the next level?
Well, one of the things, Teddy, I always share with young people is in order to get the right person, you have to be the right person. And what I mean by that, you have to sincerely give of yourself, mm-hmm. know, let people know sincerely that you're genuine, that you are real, and that you are concerned about them. And I spend a lot of time with young people, and today sometimes they get a bad rap, but let me tell you, the future is bright.
Yes. For us.
Very, very bright. And what I've learned to do when I get around kids that I don't agree with things of how they may look or how they act, I never tell them that. The first thing I always try to do is accept them as they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't even bring that up. You don't even talk about that. Then you spend time with them, and you spend that time with them so they can see your sincerity and your consistency, because who you are, the cream will rise to the top.
Absolutely.
And once they see that you are consistent in how you're carrying yourself, how you're treating them, and how you care for them, because you can't fool them. Then once you get to that point, and you have to be very careful to know when you get to that point before you can not necessarily start changing them,
mm-hmm.
but you can start telling them the do's and don'ts.
You got to build some trust, some rapport.
You have to, and you have to accept them as they
and
are.
You have to accept them as they are. Absolutely.
And spend that time and be consistent on how you're carrying yourself, where they can really see that, hey, this person is really genuine, mm-hmm. and sincere. Mm-hmm. And then the model I use is then you start telling them and talking to them about the do's and don'ts and what would work to help them be all that they can be and
right.
have the opportunity.
You know, I think if we had conversations with the premise of what you just said and brought that to the table and everyone adopted that understanding, we would have more productive conversations. And it baffles me that that's hard to understand, because every generation they've had their struggles and their tension. You know, I'm sure you can remember growing up, there are things that your generation did that your parents were not necessarily happy with.
Exactly.
You know,
the same thing.
There's nothing new. So every generation is going to have their own trends, their own fads, the way they did things. I mean, were you a part of the Woodstock generation?
No, I'm not that old.
Not that old. Okay, all right. But, you know.
I've read about it and remember, and some of those people are some of the best leaders that you
absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely.
Because they can relate to people.
They can relate.
And they didn't look down on people. And that's the first thing you have to do, is not castigate people and look down on them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I do, and you may notice this and you may not, well, one of the things that really is very, very important to me is my wife.
Right.
And you know that every place that I go or
she's
she
there.
Go, we try to be there.
She's there.
There sometimes
right.
we
That's
have
right.
to. And I do that for a reason, and I let people know, and these young men and even some young women I talk to, you know, I always tell them to find a spouse that's going to treat you like a queen or a king.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, the model I use for myself as far as accountability on how I'm going to treat any people or organization is how I treat my wife.
Absolutely.
Because there's no way that I could love her, mistreat her, and care for her, and do all those things and not do it for you.
Right.
Because that's the closest person to me.
Right.
So that's a model that Eddie Lowe
right.
uses.
Right.
Is how I value my wife. In how I treat her, because if I'm not treating her correctly,
mm-hmm.
what in the world are you going to expect from me?
Absolutely.
If you know that.
Absolutely.
And I share that with young people
Absolutely.
As a model
mm-hmm.
where they can build trust in me and how the consistency is, even with something that some people may think is that minute, but it's really not. It's huge and it's gigantic from my perspective.
And don't get mad at me saying this, but Ms. Lowe, she holds her own, too.
Oh, yeah.
She would be dynamic if she wasn't on your arm or not. I want you to know that. You know,
I did good, then.
You did. I think we both did very well, you know, considered our wives are the same chapter of Alpha Kappa
yeah.
Alpha, you know, and they know each other very well. So we're some lucky guys.
We are blessed.
We are truly blessed. And so, you know, speaking of youth, you have a mayor's ball that you do every
yes.
year. And the proceeds of that ball goes to scholarships, right?
It goes to three components.
Okay.
It's we do scholarship in our bylaws. We do of the net, 60% of it goes toward scholarship. 20% of it goes toward dual enrollment. 10% goes to agencies in Phoenix City that helps the less fortunate. And we also try to keep 10% just as a business model, which is good business sense, to help defray some of the cost for the next mayor. So it's been one of the most intrinsically rewarding thing that I've ever been a part of, my wife and I, because we've been able to bless over 90 kids.
And you started this?
Yes, we started this when I became mayor. But in the other part of this is, as I spoke about earlier, we wanted to do something that had never been done.
Right.
To bring inclusion for all people, black, white, African-American, whatever you want to call them. Every person in Phoenix City, from no matter where they're from, in Columbus, because we have to realize this is one region.
That's right.
And we wanted to do something that could be inclusive with everybody that can get an intrinsically reward by helping young people, because they are our future. So we do those components of this year would be our fifth one that we will be having on June the 16th at the Trade Center. You know, last year we had it at the River Mill. We seem to have outgrown that, which is a good problem to have. But it's all about inclusion. We have a great board, great people on there. None of us get paid. We just go out and raise money, and we give it all back to the community. We do scholarship, and one of the things that we've done, one of the goals that we have is to have an endowment for every four-year college in the state of Alabama, and we have three. And what we did, Teddy, is me being a graduate of the University of Alabama, we started with them that we put in $25,000, and they automatically matched it 100%. Which made it $50,000, and it's an endowment perpetuity from now on that kids that goes to our high school will always have a chance to be able to get some scholarship from the University of Alabama. We also have done one with Tuskegee University we did last year, and we also did Troy University. Now the goal is, this is the goal, it all predicated on, as long as I'm there, is to always try to start an endowment with one of the four-year colleges of the state of Alabama.
Right.
That's leaving Phoenix City a history. And the model is that they have to do 100% match so it can be perpetuity from now on.
Right.
And so we have three of those, and it's just one of the most intrinsically rewarding things. And we're leaving, a history for Phoenix City, and we just, it's a great thing. And again, the goal is to do every four-year college in the state of Alabama, where kids from our school system in Phoenix City would be able to help with going to any college they want by an endowment, whether it pays $2,000 or whatever. It's a great mechanism, and that's the goal that we're looking for. So the mayor's ball has been great. It's going to be June the 16th this year, and we want to invite everybody to come, because all the money goes back to the kids, to the community.
It's a good time.
It's a great time to have it, and we just want to strongly encourage them to come and just be a part of it.
Wow. Well, I tell you, when you're having fun, Mayor Lowe, time goes by so fast. So in our last few minutes here, I want to focus on one statement that you just made, and you call this one region, and that warmed my heart to hear you call this area one region, because even though we are separated by a river, we are collectively in a valley.
Exactly.
We are in this bowl together. And this bowl can be the best it could possibly be by us working together. You know, I go over to Montgomery quite often because I have an aunt that lives over there, my wife's aunt, my aunt. And so when I'm driving in, I like to see the signs on 185 saying whitewater rafting this.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
And so that was a project where both cities were able to come together and create an attraction that works well for both location. And I think that's a model of what future collaboration between Columbus and Phoenix City can look like. You know, what's your thoughts on that?
Well,
and where do we go with more collaboration?
This is one of the things that we have to realize. That river has been there for hundreds of years.
Right.
It is very, very important to these communities.
Mm-hmm.
And what I always say when we talk about this is that that river has always had value.
Mm-hmm.
But what these communities done is that, and I say this, we transmuted the river, which means we took something of value
mm-hmm.
and made it of more value, because it brought these communities together. It brings people here. And what affects Columbus affects Phoenix City.
And vice versa.
And what affects Phoenix City mm-hmm. affects Columbus. And
that's
I
right.
thank God for Columbus, because both of my parents, when my mom started working, she worked at the S&S cafeteria. That was before your time. And my dad worked for William Construction Company.
Right.
So it's been a part of these communities that has helped people in Phoenix City. Columbus has, and Phoenix City helped people in Phoenix City help Columbus.
Uh-huh.
But it's one region, and what we have in the attraction that can bring thousands of people here every year. What we have to do, we've been, both governments been, which is one of the first time, and I heard this morning from some people from Columbus, that mm-hmm. the first time that these governments, Phoenix City and Columbus, has really worked together hand in hand, looking at it from a regional standpoint to make it better, because what affects one affects the other.
Well, you won't pat yourself on the back, but I'll
yeah.
pat you. I mean, that to me, that comes down to the leadership.
Yeah.
Because it's not like the Dillingham Bridge and 13th Bridge and they hadn't always been there. There's a bridge to connect us. The question is, did we want to cross it?
Exactly.
And we have leaders that determined they were going to cross the bridge and come together and create stronger communities. And I even love it during celebration times, how parade starts over
exactly.
there on Colin Powell Parkway and comes across the river and comes over into Columbus. And we do it collectively. We celebrate collectively. You know, and how folks from Columbus goes over to Phoenix City doing the Whitewater Classic with Tuskegee and Albany State University. You know, I'm Albany State grad, so
yeah,
I had
right.
to put that in there. You know, I had to do
well,
it.
We started
right?
that because of inclusion.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
And it's a great time for so many people in Maryland. I just think it was God's divine path and vision to have someone with your honesty, your intelligence, and your ability to reach people and touch people to help lead these governments in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Because it's about the people.
It's about
no,
the people.
No leader should ever make decisions based on their self-interest or their self-desires. In fact, you have to be willing to be the sacrificial lamb for the team.
Absolutely.
And I learned that in sports. And I try to carry it every day wherever mm-hmm. I go with people.
You know, people don't talk that often about the guy who gave that amazing block so that running back can bust through that hole and score that touchdown.
It's the team concept, man.
But he was important.
It's the team.
It's the
all,
team.
And you have to lay it on the line for the team.
Well, you know, I think that's a good thing. Here to bring us to a closing, saying it's all a team. Marilo, do you want to leave us with any words of encouragement or something you just want to say to the people?
I would say what
out?
I've been saying in Phoenix City this 2018 is that the good Lord has brought us out of 2017, and we need to look at it for a reason if we're here for 2018, and that's to be a lifter and not a leaner. To build up and not to tear down, and to focus more on being righteous than being right, because when you are righteous, it will convict you to do what's right. And that's the challenge I want to say to everybody. And that's what we, the people in Phoenix City, is going to hear and been hearing all this year.
Well, amazing. With that said, Mayor Eddie Lowe, I need not say anything else. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, and Mayor Lowe, I must thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. And I want to thank you again for your selflessness and all that you do for so many people, and how you're constantly thinking about the people, not just the people of Phoenix City, but the people of this entire region, and how your leadership and you taking God's direction has put us in a place to where we're working together and we're growing collaboratively, and we're going to continue to do that.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Do you want to join me next Sunday? We're taking it into March, March the 4th, and I promise you we're going to have more amazing conversations as the year progresses. Look forward to talking with you again.
The views and expressions of Sunday Conversation are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporation, advertisers, nor their staff.
That's Sunday Conversations at dbicolumbus.com.